these bones to live, call these lungs to sing once again. Thank you.
anxious, not in a hurry. Father, we lift up our voices to you, sing a love song to you, for you are worthy. Father, we lift up a song to you. Oh, we lift up a song to you. You worthy, worthy, worthy are you, Lord. Come on, lift up your voice right now. Just begin to tell him how much you love him. Living again.
What a name. What a name. What reason to celebrate. Well, what do you mean? What do I mean? I mean, because it means when you need provision, he says, I am. When you got somebody that's estranged from you, he says, I am the God of reconciliation. When you're hungry for something, he says, I am the bread of life. When you need direction, he says, I am wisdom. When you feel like you don't have a way out, he says, I am the one who makes ways in the desert. I make rivers in the desert. I make roadways in the wilderness. And when you need salvation and a sacrifice for all of your sin, he says, I am. That's why for all eternity, we'll sing worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb, the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega. He's just that good. God, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can stay discouraged if we look at our circumstances. We can. But we can't stay discouraged when we fix our eyes on you, God. We can't stay discouraged when we see the great I am. That whatever I have need for today, you say, I am. God, we want to live in that confidence, in that boldness as overcomers, not because of who we are, but because of the one who goes with us wherever we go. God, we celebrate that today. Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, it's good. It's good to see you this morning. Good morning, Resurrection Life. How we doing this morning? We doing all right? Come on. Well, I'm glad to be here this morning. I hope that you're glad to be here on this beautiful Sunday morning, looking more and more like fall every day, baby. We getting there. If this is your first time here, if you're a visitor, man, we want to say we love you. We hope you feel welcome here. We hope you feel safe here. All we ask you to do is go out the double doors in the back, turn to your left. We've got a gift we'd like to give to you, just as our way of saying we like you. We want you to be able to come back. And we hope always, our hope is that you feel at home here. And, you know, we want you to know that these are here. You can count on us. We'll be there for you. You know what I mean? So, Elisha, this is my boy Elisha here. My estimation is, like, if we were just going to tell him, you know, like a message or even sing him a song maybe to tell our visitors that, you know, you can count on us if you need us. You know what I mean? What you got a song that you can think of that you think would go well with that kind of situation? What just first thing that comes to your mind, what is it?
I think I got it. And I think
you got it?
It?
It's in you? Well, I think we ought to go for it.
I had to get ready for this.
It's for the visitors, first impressions. This is
all visitors. You visitors out there, this is special for you.
We got one thing to say, just
lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend, and I'll help you carry on. It won't be long, and I'm gonna need somebody to lean.
Call on me, brother.
Just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you'd understand. We all need somebody to lean on.
Back.
And I'll help you care.
You know the best part of all this? Visitors, that was for you, and it was completely unplanned. I came up here first service and just looked at Elisha, and I was like, you know, why don't you sing him a song? And then the whole band joined in. You know, you can't tell them everything. You got to keep people on their toes. Keep some. That's how they stay sharp. You know, that's how Todd stays so sharp all the time. Yeah. Thanks, Michael. See what I'm saying? Unplanned. All right, let's go to our RLM minute, please. Hurry.
So what's up, Brent? You know, I just got out of youth, and I know last week you told Lance that he couldn't do it. He couldn't be in the haves and haves nots because he's been out of youth a long time. Have you seen his hair?
Yeah.
It's looking rough these days. But anyways, but I figured you might make an exception for me because I just got out of youth, and you know, I've been in college and I've been learning all this cool stuff, and I figured you might let me, you know, show you all a few tricks about.
Look, I don't know what the gloves are for, but I know the answer is no. However, you can be there. We'd love to see you out. We have our talent show coming up. It's got a lot of amazing acts. It does turn out that lion taming is not for the average amateur. Rest in peace, Billy. We'd love to see you out there this Wednesday. It's going to be amazing. The haves and the
have-nots.
God has created some amazing things. None more important than you. And if you've been saved, your next step is water baptism. And we're having that on Sunday, November 11th. So if you want to be on that list, call a church office, speak with a pastor. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to enjoy the view.
Here in the South, it's a popular belief that you need to go to church. But God never called us to just attend something. He wanted us to be a part of something. So if you've been coming to Resurrection Life and you feel like God's calling you to be a part, then we want to welcome you into our family. And what we do is host a reception in your honor called a new family members reception. And it's our way of welcoming you as part of our family.
Part of Resurrection Life's DNA is that we are givers. And part of that is going to happen at Christmas time with our Operation Christmas Joy. That is where we adopt all our seniors living in the assisted living facilities in our county. And on November the 4th, we'll have tables set up in the back where you can go and adopt your senior to get your stocking and the list of things that need to be in the stocking.
Hi guys, this is Gail Jenkins. I wanted to remind you folks that are part of Young at Heart. We're meeting this Saturday at 5 p.m. in the children's building. Bring a soup or a salad. And don't forget to bring candy for the kids for Halloween!
Halloween, all right. Come on, why don't everybody stand up? It is our giving time. But before we do, I want you to... Why don't you shake somebody's hand, hug somebody, just look them right in their eye sockets and say, man, you are looking good today. Come on, having family together is part of what makes church special. It's part of what makes church better than just having church in your house by yourself. So I want to tell you what we're able to do as a whole through giving is so much bigger than any one of us could do individually. Like, part of what we give goes to support a free medical clinic called Manna Ministries that operates and serves and sees patients for free all throughout the year. And as awesome as that is, even beyond that, because of the hurricane came, they're operating pop-up clinics that are seeing 100, 150 patients a day that ran out of certain medicines and supplies. Well, not only is what we support as a clinic able to bless our own people, our clinic was able to send medicine and extra medicine over to keep some of these pop-up clinics going and supply them. Isn't that awesome? Come on, we're able to bless people outside of our own sphere of influence, and it's something none of us could ever do on our own. But because we give as He so gave, we're able to bless people. So hold up whatever you're giving to the Lord. Come on, let's give cheerfully. God, we thank You that You are good, that You first gave, that You loved us first and You gave. And God, thank You that we have the opportunity to give. And I pray that You bless this offering, that You multiply it and use it to bless and feed and touch people within our own community and within our own nation and even across the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's read our scripture for the day. It was the same one last week. So good, I get to do it again. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one having six wings. With two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one cried to another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door was shaken by the voice of Him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sins purged. Man, if you're saved, can you just take a moment and say, I am glad my iniquity is taken away and my sins are purged. Amen. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. And He said, Go. Let's pray. Father, I just pray for Your Spirit to be here. I pray that You will touch us, You will help us, You will deliver us. God, You'll be with us. God, I'm praying that this will be a life-changing moment in our lives, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen. Now, if you haven't been here over the last few weeks, we have been preaching about servant kings. We spent the first part of the year talking about who I am, all right? Who I am. And one of the things that we are is we are servant kings. And we've talked about what that looks like and what that is and all the different things. You know, we talked the first week about deciding, and you got to decide it. You still got to decide it. What kingdom do you want to be great in? What kingdom do you want to be great in? This kingdom or the Lord's kingdom? I'm not talking about heaven. Because the Lord's kingdom is here. It's everywhere. Which kingdom do you want to be great in? We talked about how if you're going to be great in God's kingdom, what do you got to do? Serve. Everybody say serve. It's not a cuss word. It's okay. It's okay to say it. You're not cussing. Serve. It's all right. If you're going to be great, I mean, Jesus plainly said, you want to be great in my kingdom? Be a servant of all. Can't make it no plainer. But to be a true servant with a pure heart, you got to know who you are. Because if you serve not knowing who you are, you'll have ulterior motives. Well, I'm going to serve this one and hope maybe, or maybe the Lord will bless me 100-fold, or maybe this. And you serve. When you already know, I'm as high as I'm going to get in the pecking order. Remember we talked about that. I'm as high as I'm going to get right now in the pecking order of the kingdom of God. I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I ain't going no higher than that right there. You ought to be happy about that. Serving makes you look like Jesus. They always see your good works and give glory to God. He has the same call on us as he did the disciples. Follow me. And when I follow him, I am walking in his authority. As a servant king, we walk in his authority. We're walking with the Holy Spirit. And when you walk with the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? That means any simple act of kindness, walking in the Holy Spirit, can turn into an incredible miracle. Because the Holy Spirit's around. Holy Spirit, any simple act of kindness, any simple act of obedience on your part, when you follow the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, because the Holy Spirit's around, that's what he does. He does supernatural stuff. And we talked last week about our words. You serve people with your words. Build others up. We are to build with our words, not tear each other down, but build. We are builders. Everybody say builders. Now today I want to talk to you about living life sent, learning to live being sent, learning to live life with purpose, learning living sent, kind of like the, I ain't recommending the movie, don't say preacher told you we'll get the movie, I ain't recommending it, but if you old timers, you know what I'm talking about, the Blues Brothers. You remember Blues Brothers? They said, we're on a mission from God. Yes. Remember that? Yeah, I wish we would adopt that. Now, not them, but we need to understand that we are to live our lives like we're on a mission from God. I can't say that Chicago Northern accent, but God, whatever. We're on a mission from God. We are to live our lives like we are sent. I'm not just a diddly bump life along and go through the motions of life and go through things and just take what life gives me. Oh, I'm just getting by, brother, doing the best I can, all this stuff. That was never meant for kings and queens in God's kingdom. We are to live life sent. I'm sent somewhere. I'm living life on purpose. Now, first of all, the problem with that is, you know, you got to understand that we have created God in our image. We have forgotten who God is. We've lost our wow of God. Our God has become what we've created him. We've created him in our mind, and we've lost our whoa of God. I mean, you know, Isaiah was a rich man. We know this through Jewish history. Isaiah was a rich man. He was a smart man. He was a wealthy man. And the moment he came into the presence of God, his first thing was, whoa, 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 whoa. I am undone. We've got to understand that we serve a God. If you can answer every question about God, your God is too small. If you know it all, or if you can learn it all on the internet, because we know everything on the internet's true. Do you understand? If you can learn it all, then what do you need God for? And that's the way we want a God we can explain. And that is not the God who created everything. He ain't gonna let you be him because you can't handle it. You'd short circuit. If he let you know what he knows, you'd melt in the floor. We'd have to clean you off the carpet. Our God is the God of the universe. He is the God of all. He is the creator of all. He is so glorious that you can't even look at him. He's so big. He's so unbelievable, mind-blowing big that these creatures, these seraphim, if they showed up here, we would definitely have to clean the chairs. You'd wet all over yourself if these seraphim, and they can't even look at him. One pair of wings, they hold his eyes, and what are they covering their feet, and they're flying around saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And do not think it is a waste of life. Amen. That's the God we serve. He's big. He's huge. And yet, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can be done. Y'all didn't catch that. Woe is me, I am undone. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, I can be done. Y'all know, y'all about like old Boudreaux, he went to church. Old Boudreaux went to church, and the guy said, if anybody needs extra prayer, come down. And old Boudreaux came down, and he said, well, Boudreaux, what can I pray with you about? And he said, my hearing. And so the preacher laid hands on his ears, started praying down heaven and all that. Started praying down, praying and all that. And he said, okay, Boudreaux, how's your hearing now? And he said, well, I don't know. It's not till next Tuesday. Ha ha, that's how some of you are. Man, God is big. He's huge. And this God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, not only made a way, but invites us to come into his presence. This huge God is still asking the same question. Who will I send? He is still asking the same question. Who's going to go for us? Now, some of you, because of your religious background, you're already saying, well, does he want me to go on a mission trip? You want me to sell everything I have and be a missionary to India or Africa? See, you're thinking religion. He is asking the question, do you understand that before I get to the main part of the sermon, you got to get this. Do you understand that he's still asking the same question? Who will I send for us? Put up the next part. That he is the God of the universe, that he wants, that his plan is to use you. Amen. Look at me now. When God wants to change something in this area, he'll send a person. So let's break that down. So you won't call me in the middle of the night, come get the Holy Spirit in my house. Let me just break that down for you. What that means is, if you want God in your home, he sent you there. And here's another thing you need to know about God. He ain't got no plan B. And he ain't backing off of it. There's no other plan. When God wants to do something, he's going to send somebody. When God wanted to fix sin, what happened? He sent a man. When God wants to change things at your workplace, instead of complaining about it, how about say, God, you sent me here. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I am saved. And you start living life on purpose. You start living life sent. Instead of complaining and griping, well, God, why'd you give me 11 kids? Will I ever get rid of? God, they bringing more back, and I ain't even got the others out. What is going on? Or you can say, God, you have ordained me and Amy to handle this, and so you sent me to train up a tribe so that I can have a whole page in the phone book of Hickman's. Amen. Do you understand? See, the reason it's no big deal being sent is because you don't know how big God is. When you got a big God, God says, who will go with me? And you say, yes, I'll go. Man, that's a big deal. I'm going with the authority. That means I carry the authority of Jesus Christ in my house. Wherever I go, wherever my job is. Amen. If you deal with children, don't complain. Oh, them kids, they get bad. They just bad because they ain't been whooped. But listen, God, if God sent you there, if you are saying, yes, God, if God sent you there, then God will give you the anointing to make a difference in their lives. Does that make sense? And they answered, look, to somebody has sent, God wants to do something. How many of you believe God wants to do something in your house? How many of you believe God wants to do something where you work? I mean, God wants to do something everywhere. Who will go for him? Who's going to go for him in your house? You want me to show up? You want, if we could get Sister Annie and he'd come pray. Well, she'll come pray, and by God, she'll run them demons out. But if you don't buck up and do something, they're going to come back. And Amy ain't moving in your house. She's got to stay with me. You understand what I'm saying? The answer's got to be yes. See, some of you, this is where the crutch is, and we're going to get to the crutch of the matter. The answer's got to be yes. Yes, Lord, you're Lord of my time, you're Lord of my money, you're Lord of my relationships, you're Lord of my free time, you're Lord of everything. Yes, because his lordship is in question. Yes means you're Lord and it's been settled. It doesn't matter what happens. Well, Lord, I stepped out and I expected to be blessed 100-fold and I ain't getting nothing. I ain't doing that no more. Well, then you never, lordship was never settled. The results are up to him. One of the greatest evangelists, we named a college after him, William Carey, he preached 7 years. He was sent to India, preached every week he was preaching, 7 years before he ever had a convert. And if something bad happens 1 week, we quit. Yes means that the answer is yes. Now, what's the question? And yes means that we give him. See, this is what I'm trying to break this down so that you don't get religious and Satan steals from you. Yes means, when I say yes, I will go for you, that means you give him what's in your hands. He's not asking. Now, he might, but he'll make it clear and confirm it. But you give him what you have in your hands. What do I have in my hands? Well, I have my story. I have my job. I have my family. I have this. I have this ability. I have that ability. You give him what's in your hands first. And if he wants to change things and change your direction, that's fine. He'll make it clear. But it starts, what do you have in your hands? We learn that from the New Testament. What, y'all feed them. What do you have in your hands? I got 2 fish and 5 loaves. That'll be enough. Does that make sense? You bring him your story. Some of you are so broken and you're a victim and all that stuff. Can I tell you, if you will bring that to the Lord and say, yes, I will go, he will turn you into a trophy of his grace that heals other people. Now, what does it look like to be sent? What is being sent? That's what I want to get to. I hope you're taking notes. Let me give you 4 quick things, because we got stuff to do, and they will be quick. I heard my children clearing their throats when I said 4 quick things. Number one, you got to live, this is what it looks like. You live with certainty. You're certain. You're certain that God knows. You're certain that God does miracles. You're certain that God uses me to advance the kingdom. I can make a difference. You're certain that my life matters. There is a certainty. See, some of you are so beat down is because you're looking at all the other opinions that people have had about you instead of looking at the opinion God has about you. God, I don't care if your parents or nobody else wanted you. God is the giver of life, and he puts greatness in everybody because he's a great God. That means when I say yes to him, I'm going to advance the kingdom. I'm going to do great things. I'm going to see great things. He's going to use my life, that my life will count. You got to be certain of that, because Satan is telling us the exact opposite. Well, I'm just... what can I do? What can I do? What can we do in Picayune, Mississippi? Well, 20-something years ago, the Lord spoke to me to have a free medical clinic. I had no idea it was going to turn into this mammoth thing that Jamie has turned it into. I just thought we were going to take blood pressure and give shots. I was going to give shots. I was excited about it. I was going to stick people. I didn't know. Listen, do you realize we were able to service thousands of people with medicine from our clinic over in Panama City, where all the doctor's offices are blown away? I had no vision for that. But see, your life matters. Your life is not, it doesn't matter when you're introverted and you're just trying to take care of you. That guy, listen, I don't know. I'm not bashing him. The guy that just died, that owned the Seattle Seahawks and owned the Portland Trail Blazers, that helped start with Bill Gates, Microsoft, billionaire. You know what? All of that don't matter now. He's dead. All of that greatness in the kingdom is nothing for eternity. But what we do for the kingdom will last forever. That makes, if I save one, I have changed eternity forever. See, we judge by numbers and all that. God judges by just fulfilling his call. I'm certain that I am God's child. That's why you got to know. I'm certain that God knows what I'm doing. I don't have to parade it. Look what I'm doing. God knows. Number two, I not only got to be certain, I got to be intentional. This is huge. Please wake up and hear me on this one. You got to be intentional. Some of you are begging the Holy Spirit, God, give me a good marriage. God, help me. You got to be intentional. God, help me lose weight. God, do this. Well, if you want to lose weight, you got to make a decision not to go down the Bluebell aisle. Don't go to eat at Ryan's and say, I'm just going to eat the vegetables. You got to be intentional. You got to be intentional about what you're doing, making decisions. If you want your life to change, you got to be intentional about making action, active choices that change my journey along the way. If I want a good family, I've got to make time to spend with them. If I want God in my family, at 8:30, when all our boys were little, at 8:30, it didn't matter what was going on. 8:30, we had family time. I read the word to them. I prayed over them. I made them say something they're thankful about. I was intentional about it. Guess what? They're starting. I woke up the other morning, and one of my older sons, I see him outside reading the Bible. And you go, well, how did you get him to do that? I was intentional. I made them do it from an early age, and I made that decision. If you want things to change, first of all, quit crying out to the Holy Spirit. Be intentional, and the Holy Spirit will invade those decisions and take you further than you ever thought. Do you understand that if I want my marriage, my family, my safety, listen, I want y'all to know, I want to share with you a decision that I made. When I got engaged to Amy, I decided, I was intentional about my decision. I decided I'm not going to date anybody else. And I've stuck with that decision. I've been intentional about not asking any other woman out. Now, I'm being silly, but we want God to take away all of the temptation when you could get rid of a bunch of it by just being intentional. I know you want the Holy Spirit to come by and come down and take over in Kalahaba and just start doing stuff. What happened? I don't know. And he'll do that if, you know, but let me tell you something. He'd much prefer you just be intentional. Make decisions about my ministry, my wife. See, some of you, I hate to meddle, but I'm going to just jump in there. I'll jump out. I won't stomp on your toes too much, but just a little bit to get your attention, and I'll jump off. My wife has taught Sunday school since this church started. She still teaches Sunday school. Because we're of the belief that if you got children back there, you ought to serve back there. Funny us. We think, you know, you ought to serve back there if you got children back there. Well, guess what? Instead of complaining, oh, it's my week to teach. You know what she did? She would get intentional about studying her lesson. She would take time out of her day on Thursday and Friday and Saturday to study the lesson that she was going to teach and come up with ideas and everything. And I cannot tell you, Amy can correct me if I'm lying, I cannot tell you how many times, because she was intentional and made that intentional choice, guess what? She would say, you know what the Lord showed me? You know, through that lesson? You know what the Lord spoke to me about that lesson? See, we all want God to speak to us. God wants us to be intentional, on purpose, about what's going on. Does that make sense? If you are not intentional, you will never live a life of being sent. Being intentional praying. Being intentional about the decisions, about your ministry, about what everybody should have a ministry. Doing things on purpose. Number three, understanding. This is where you got to continue to grow. Anybody in here got it? You think you got God all figured out? Anybody? You got to listen to those that are further along on their race. You got to grow in wisdom. You ought to be going to life groups. You ought to be learning, coming to these teachings, coming to church, learning, reading books, listening to people's testimony, learning from others who are successful. Do not take your advice from Dr. Phil or Oprah. They told me that Oprah was running for president. I went, oh, Jesus, no. No. Do you understand that people that think they are wise in their own eyes are more dangerous than idiots? People that think they know everything are more dangerous. Does that make sense? And so if I'm going to live like I said, I'm going to listen to people. Like I remember there's several times I called Dad and Brother Doug, you know, like, you know, when you're young, you don't know better. You don't know better. I mean, you know, when your wife comes out and says, when you're young and first married, does this make me look bad? Fat? Well, yeah, it does, kind of. I didn't know. So I called Brother Doug, and I called Brother Doug. I told him, I said, hey, man, you know, things have been kind of chilled around here. And he said, what happened? I told him, well, the dress, it wasn't flattering, Brother Doug. It didn't make her look good. He went, whoa. What did you do? I just told her the truth. Oh, God. Man's been married 62 years. And I told, you know, I just told her the truth. Oh, don't do that. I said, Brother Doug, you tell me a lie. Think of something, divert, do something else. Don't say it. Yes, sir. Look at me. I'm being kind of silly, but who do you have speaking into your life? Look at me now. Look at me. Who is speaking into your life that is successful at life? I mean, I know we all got friends that are total failures. That's not who I need to be bouncing ideas off of. I need to get relationships of people that are successful so I can understand and constantly be a learner. Brother Doug, who is 82 years old, see, some of you complain about this Hispanics. Well, they ought to learn to live, to speak English, they're going to be here. Well, maybe if they're around you, maybe God has sent you to them. Maybe you should learn to speak Spanish so you can minister to them. See, that's the way somebody that's sent. Well, I know I'm here. So if God's got me here, then I need. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's a whole different mindset of just getting by and complaining about what we don't like. If God sent you there, he wants you to be the change agent. Last one. Got to grow and understand. The last one, it takes sacrifice. Now, listen, I understand what you think. Oh, he's talking about money. I'm really not. Sometimes you can't go in all directions. Look at me like this. You only have so much time in a day. You can't go in all directions. You can't. There's not enough time. That is the biggest thing I hear. Well, are you reading your Bible in the morning? Are you praying? Are you involved in a life group? Well, brother, I would love to. Man, I really want to, but I just don't what? Have enough time. Can I tell you, if you start living like one that's sent, You need to prioritize kingdoms. It ain't... Oh, I got in trouble the first service. Oh, man. I'm thinking about... The first service just came on me. Now I've had an hour to think about it, and I'm like, do I really want... But I'm going to go ahead and just get in trouble both services. You know, is it important? Is it really important that my three-year-old daughter gets up there on the stage and just kind of flops around and not really dancing or whatever, but we pay hundreds of dollars and give hundreds of time. Oh, well, that's my granddaughter's dance recital, and she's going to get up there and go, hey, Grandpa, and then she ain't doing nothing special, and a little tutu, or that they we pay hundreds of dollars, take them to practice three times a week, and they're out, you know, 4 or 5 years old in T-ball, digging holes in the ground, you know, picking flowers and the balls, and the coach is screaming, run, get the ball, they go, where, and you got one kid running around doing everything. Is it really, are we really giving a good... Is any of that stuff wrong? No. It's not. Look at me now. None of that stuff is wrong. But if I don't have a time to do kingdom stuff, all of it's wrong. Does that make sense? If I don't have time to do the things I was sent to do, like if you're a coach or a teacher, man, you're sent. You're not there drawing a paycheck. You're there as a representative of the most. Who is going to go to me? Who is going to go for us to Picayune High School, to Poplarville High School? Who's going to go for us? And all of a sudden, you find yourself there where you're sent. Does that make sense? In your job. But listen, if I have friends, if I have things in my life that is stealing all my time, then I need to change some things. I need to sacrifice some things. I need to sacrifice. If I can't have time, and it's got to start at home, guys. Everybody look at me. It's got to start at home. If I can't have time to minister to my wife or spend time with my wife, something else got to go. That's what I'm talking about in sacrifice. If I don't have time to read my Bible in the morning, something else has got to go. If I don't have time to pray and invite or get involved in a life group because it's going to bring life to you or come to church, something else has got to go. I got to sacrifice something because I only got 24 hours. You see how it works? But when you get to that kind of life, you'll have a life that you'll see the trail of the goodness of God. You'll see people that have changed. I love walking up to people that are grown men now saying, man, I was on your little league team. I really loved the way you took care of me. Thank you. See, you see a little fruits. But the biggest thing is, if you minister to one person and they change their life, you're going to spend eternity with them rejoicing. Ain't no money can buy that. Amen? Now, I'm asking you today to lay down what's holding you back. Some of you have been Christians too long. You've just been Christians and you're not going forward. You're not actively being sent, living life like you're sent. You're just waiting for the swing low, sweet chariot coming forward to carry me home. I'm not waiting for heaven. I want to go after things. I want to go after the kingdom of God here, and when heaven comes, it just sweeps me away. I'm asking you to lay down what's in your hands today. First of all, if you've never been saved, you need to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. That's the first thing that happened to Isaiah. Notice he didn't get sent till he got saved. See that? Some of you need to lay down some of your known sins or whatever. But I'm asking you the question. And I want you to think about it, and I'm going to give you a chance because we're going to do something. All right? I'm asking you to think. I'm not giving a cattle call. I want you to seriously consider what I am saying. I am asking you to answer the question. If God Almighty stood on this stage, and I believe the Lord gave me this sermon, and said, who will go for us? Whom shall we send? If your answer is yes, here am I, Lord, send me. Now, he's going to send you to the same place you've been going. But I want you to go with a different attitude, a different heart. I had no idea I had a word for this. This guy came down to get a pen. And the Lord told me, tell him he's going to take healing into to his place of work. Tell him, if he'll believe me, I'll heal people at his place of work. I didn't know what he did. I called him down the first service. He said, well, I'm the athletic trainer at PRC. That's all he does is he deal with hurt bodies. I said, man, the Lord will use you to do miracles right there. If you'll say yes, here am I, send me. That means that Jesus becomes the, everybody look at me, the priority of your life. Not a priority, the priority. And he makes my family better. He makes my children better. He makes my money go further. He makes everything better. I have peace and joy. I knew the Lord had changed me Friday night in the midst of a football game. Felt like we were being treated unfairly by the referees. I want you to know I remain completely calm because I realize on the level of importance, that's down here. Now, that kid being stolen from their parents and sold into sex slavery. Now that makes me mad. See the difference? You start living like one who's sent. I'm gonna ask all the staff to come down. And here's what's gonna happen. If you need to be saved, after the service, I want you to come down here and we will be glad to lead you to the Lord. But I want you to take this serious, what I'm about to say. I want you to think about the words I am saying. If you come down here, we're going to lay it. Hold on, Miss Hilda. Just the staff. I've given them special instructions. Just the staff. Here's this, we got a pen that says, live sent. Live sent, like I was sent by God. And what they're going to do is, I felt like the Lord said, if you'll lay hands on them, I'll transfer. All these people are called. They have a sentness on them. And I'm asking you, they're just going to pin it on you and lay hands on you. If you're saying yes to that question, here am I, send me, Lord. Then in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to come. And I want you to think about it now because you're making a commitment to the Lord. I'm going to live like that. I'm going to live to serve. I'm going to live, instead of going to a restaurant and worrying about the food, I go into a restaurant and say, Lord, is there somebody here I can pray for? Is there something here you want me to do? I'm here, so I might as well be a servant king. Does that make sense? So you're aware, everywhere I go, I'm going to be a servant king. Is there something you want me to do? A lot of times, no. Sometimes yes. It's amazing when you start living your life like that and inviting the Holy Spirit to carry you through life. So if I want everybody to rise to your feet.